Checking in from ZCon 4, Joel. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. I don't have a sip real quick. So yeah, we're checking in from ZCon 4. What are your thoughts so far?
Oh, this is a great event. High production values, quality people,
yeah,
and quality cerveza.
Quality cerveza?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really digging the Estrellas. We've been drinking that everywhere. Yeah. It's like the national beer, I think, here, and it's quite good.
Yeah. See, I'm a recovering craft beer snob.
Okay.
But it's funny, towards the end of my, I kind of got more cocktails, but towards the end of that, I've kind of become to appreciate the simple beer.
Okay.
Like, my favorite is like a Mapsen Oktoberfest style. This is a very beer-tasting beer. It's like not like, you know, Russian Imperial style with aged bourbon barrel, all that stuff I used to like before. I still like it. I've kind of appreciated an easy drink because life is hard.
Because I think the other thing, too, is, like, if you're going to, like, drink craft beers, it's very easy to, like, oh, I'm going to enjoy all these different types of beers, when in reality, you're just giving yourself an excuse to drink, like, 12 beers. And that's a lot of fun. Drinking 12 beers at once is a great time, but we don't always need to do that. Sometimes we just need a nice, standard, half-decent beer to enjoy.
Well, in introducing a theme for the rest of this show, the bell curve.
Okay.
Sorry, you know the bell curve meme?
Yeah, yeah.
With the idiot, the verse, like, cold beer tastes good.
Yeah.
And then, no, it has to be bourbon barrel aged, you double IV, whatever. And the end, wizard,
cold beer tastes good.
Cold beer tastes good. So it's kind of the same
cool
thing. And yeah, we'll be hitting on that theme a whole lot, I have a feeling, in this conversation.
Yeah, it's especially this evening during the little cocktail hour. I'm looking forward to that. But
yeah,
something I wanted to take some time. Obviously, we're doing a few recordings here, just getting some people thoughts on the conference, things that are coming up in Zcash. Something I wanted to talk to you specifically about is using Cryptic, because, or cryptocurrencies, rather.
Who the hell does that?
Sorry?
Who the hell does that anymore?
I know, who the hell does that? I don't know if we can swear on this, but we might get into that.
Who the heckin' does that?
Who the heck does that? Hell's not even a swear word, but nonetheless, I almost said, like, I almost dropped enough.
Yeah.
Whatever.
By the end of the beer, we'll admit.
Exactly. We'll finish that within the next 15 minutes, and the last 2 minutes will be wild.
And the roll.
Bull. So using crypto, I'm doing this, or cryptocurrencies rather, you've been doing this for 8-9 years?
So I haven't earned fiat currency in almost 8 years. It'll be 8 years this December, I think.
Okay.
And I've been using crypto, it will be 10 years in September.
Okay.
Just using it but not in exclusively using it would be, 2015,
So with that, you've kind of put on social media and your writing and your podcast and put a lot out about how you can't be, to do this, it's really hard to be a maximalist because at times the applications and other currencies you've been using have not, it's not that they haven't worked, it's just they haven't provided the same type of user experience that you're looking for. So tell me a little bit more about your views on the, and this isn't just Bitcoin maximalism, right? Like,
No, maximalism is a state of mind. Because
it's a state of mind. Tell me more about maximalism and how that does not translate into effectively living off crypto full time.
Yeah, well, first of all, if I became one could call kind of a Bitcoin maximalist under a loose definition of terms. Like, I never was one of those, like, anti-innovation people. That's just never going to be me. I'm sorry. But in the early days, I was like, all I cared about was Bitcoin. And I was interested, I heard about, like, in 2014, when I went to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, this is before I was living all in crypto, but it was like a week-long festival in the mountains of New Hampshire. I didn't bring any fiat, even though I still had like a bank card and stuff like that then, and I still earned fiat for a job. I only brought Bitcoin with me the whole week, and I spent 100% Bitcoin the entire week there on food and other trinkets and things like that. And the only thing I couldn't, there's one coffee station that wouldn't take Bitcoin, only took silver, but someone was selling little silver coins for Bitcoin, and so I bought the silver coins of Bitcoin to pay for coffee. But my point is there was a vendor who was selling bacon pancakes for Bitcoin, Litecoin, I think Dogecoin and Darkcoin before it was called Dash. And I was like, oh, this is cool. But it's alts, as they used to be called, still sometimes are, were a novelty. And I only cared about, okay, that's cool to play around with, but I want Bitcoin. This is what moves forward. So then 2015, I decided, you know what? I'm going to just jump headfirst into space. I'm going to stop taking fiat. I'm going to only earn Bitcoin from here on out. And it was a good, like, solid year of that before the block started filling up. I had so many sad stories of, like, skipping lunch because I couldn't get a confirmation in time. I just had no money available, so I just literally had to go hungry. Or, like, it took so long to get a gift card to confirm, a transaction confirmed to buy something, that my phone died and I didn't have a charger on me and I couldn't, like, buy a charger because I get my money is in the dead phone now. And it just, like, all these, it just sucked. I could not keep doing this. And so that's when I expanded my horizons, because I said, yeah, I either got to go crawling back to my bank and say, you were wrong, my bank account, or I have to find a different way. And so Bitcoin took a several year vacation from digital cash use cases. And it was later in the 2016, early 2017, all the way up till whenever the first, like, whenever Phoenix and Breeze wallet came out for, like, Lightning, to where you can kind of get by using it again.
Yeah, I mean, I like, admittedly, I use Bitcoin probably 7 to 8 times a month for digital cash purposes.
Yeah, today it works because people built up a, you know, I don't think it's ideal. I don't think the trust models of those wallets are ideal, but it's still fine. But I would have had to take a break for years or just get really rich, like, no more transaction fees on chain in order to make that happen. That demaximizes a person.
Yeah, no, for sure. So you have experience with using a variety of these different cryptocurrencies to not invest in, but earn and provide yourself a higher level of, arguably a higher level of self-sovereignty. And
yeah,
people like yourself and myself would argue for that. People disagree with us. But that's a decision you personally made. What is your experience with, like, okay, let's start here. What have been the currencies you've used the most and why? And what's the, like, for, let's say, Monero, Zcash, Dash,
Bitcoin? Yeah.
What have been kind of some of the major differences you've seen and what are the things that really attract you in your use case?
So to be perfectly honest, it was like 95 to like almost 100% Bitcoin up until the end of 2016. And from the end of 2016 to 2021 was like statistically 100% Dash. Like, I touched and used, but, like, for, let's be honest, like, almost all that. And in the last couple of years, it's like 80 to 90% Dash for payments, right? But
okay.
But then there's, so for example, I use Thorchain and the Maya protocol for a lot of, like, DeFi stuff. I use Polygon for my NFTs, like, non-money things. And then anytime, like, today, like, since I've been at Zcon, I've made more Zcash transactions than Dash transactions because I can use it. I like privacy, and I like that people here want to take it. And
yeah,
so I'm really into that, but it just, as far as, like, when the tiers, you go in from the tier of, like, Bitcoin, you can do most things on, but there's clunkiness to it because Bitcoin's accepted almost, like, everywhere in the crypto world, right? Lightning, not necessarily. So you can use clunky Bitcoin, or you can use clunky but fast and cheap, depends on how you want to define Lightning. But so that's how you can get spend it at the most places. And then there's, like, Litecoin, which makes you wait for confirmations. That sucks. But it also is pretty universal in spending. And then right in the acceptance tier, right below that is Dash, to where Dash is, like, or in some cases above. Like, for example, you can pay all your bills in the U.S. with Spritz Finance, with Bitcoin and Dash, but not Litecoin. So generally speaking, for usability in a daily life, Dash has very high adoption, not the highest adoption, but very high adoption and very high usability. And it kind of has that marriage of both.
Yeah.
So that's what that is. And since I might earn more Zcash than Dash, depends on the month and what I'm doing. But now that I have a more significant amount of income in Zcash, that's what I'm looking at next, is, like, how can I find ways of spending this?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've earned Zcash and I've worked, obviously, in the past, I've accepted percentages, like, relatively substantial percentages of my paychecks in Zcash.
Yeah.
Grants that I've worked on or paid out in Zcash, etc. So I'm kind of in that same boat. And for me, I've always kind of had it to opt to using like a swap to like Bitcoin or Monero to do a transaction that I want to do.
Yeah.
I've found that isn't the worst thing in the world, but it's always not the best user experience. And I definitely, like, for example, I was just living in the UK, and BitRefill has like all of the like British grocery stores.
Yeah, like Tesco.
Yeah, and they've got Waitrose, which is where we had a Waitrose near like my apartment.
Yeah.
It was like super easy to just like go into my phone, go onto the website.
I'll be yelling.
Go onto the website and then purchase a gift card like right then and there. It's like, it's a little bit of time. Like it's like 30 to 40 seconds of your time. If my, like, I was running my own node as well. So if my node was like working and I was like doing all that stuff.
Yeah, you have your glutton for punishment, huh?
Yeah. And if it like still had like Phoenix and stuff and Moon Wallet that I could use in exchange for that. But it's an easy experience.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable, and it's not perfect. It's not peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
But it's a higher level of self-stock.
That's another one. So I use BitRefill very heavily.
Okay.
And for at least small payments, they accept, because Dash has instant confirmations. So I can, just like you said, like buy it in that 30, 40 second window. And so you can't do that with on-chain Bitcoin. You can do it with Lightning. You can't do it with Litecoin. So that kind of solidifies a, like, as far as like what works everywhere, it's just like that in, it's in BitRefill and it's instant. And so Lightning Network and Dash are like the two that are that equivalent. They give
no for sure. And I think obviously with kind of some more work on like Zcash wallet applications and the sync times, everything.
Yeah.
That could be potentially a future. So what do you think the community needs to do? Like, I've heard you say in the past, and I don't want to like misquote you, but you've said, it seems like a lot of the Zcash community doesn't want to spend or doesn't want to, doesn't want to use it. I had Paul from Edge just on. He argued that it's just really hard to do. So, like, for me, instead of it using it, I'll just swap into Lightning because it's with my Zcash stash because it's easier.
I would say...
What would you, like, do you think that's a reason that Zcash is not widely adopted on this platform?
I'll split it evenly three ways.
Okay, cool.
A third of it is what I initially said. Well, I'll get to that last. A third of it is what Paul said, which is...
No, I was just doing it to the camera.
Yeah. So, a third of it is what Paul said, that there are some sync time annoyances and things today. Maybe all that sounds way too nice and glossing over, but it's just that, you know, some user experience issues that makes it not, people not want to use it. However, no one here has really had that problem here. Like, people are willing to go through the pain to do it here, for example.
Yeah.
So the other third is, no, people are very much using it. Like, I'm not. People are using it.
Okay, cool.
So I'm right, but I'm also wrong. And so Paul's right. I'm also wrong. But where I'm right is the Spritz Finance, I mean, I got a Brave ad because I've run Brave ad campaigns before. And so I'm just like, then I see a Brave ad campaign, gave me deja vu. It popped up a couple years ago. And I was like, wait, I didn't, because I thought it said like live all on crypto. And I literally just ran a Brave ad campaign that says something about live all on crypto. So I'm like, I'm not running an ad right now. I'm like, wait, no, that's a different Spritz. I haven't heard of them. So I click on the ad and I learn about this whole Holy Zuko, there's this service I never knew existed. It's the holy grail of missing integrations in the U.S. specifically. There have been European bill pay systems for crypto. There might be something Zcash will have to investigate that, but there have been European bill pay systems for crypto forever. U.S. has always been a big missing market because the U.S. financial system does not play well with crypto, and all the regulatory nonsense going on right now just accentuates that. We finally got one, and so I'm like, wow, this is cool. They only work on Polygon. I'm like, wow, that's even more interesting. And so I had the guy on my channel, the CEO, Chris, and I pretty soon was like, yo, ever thought about integrating Dash? This would make my life easier. And so by communicating, getting with them, I got Dash on board. And it's like, great. And I'm like, I'd love if I could get Zcash there, because then at least everyone in the U.S. could say, I can pay for everything in my life with Zcash. Now it's useful to me. Now I can, like, do my little private donations to the Signal Foundation or Graphene or do whatever people love to do with, like, private uncensorable money. But then it's also, you have the excuse to have some to begin with, which is you have the excuse to Zodal because you get the Zend.
Ben Zend.
whatever. So then I started reaching out because I'm like, hey, who can help integration support? And I have some people in the forums that are like, yeah, we'll help out if this is, you know, to give technical support, if I can just talk to them again about adding a different coin. And then I start polling people, and then a lot of people are like, eh, I don't know, I wouldn't use that. Like, why? Like, nah, because, you know, it's like a KYC service, and I'm all about, like, the privacy. It's like, but you KYC with your bank, and you pay all your bills through your bank, and your bank could confiscate your money anytime, and it's being inflated and paying for all kinds of awful things. That's not the case with Zcash, but you don't want to spend it, like, nah. So there's a segment of the Zcash community that, you know, obviously I'm being critical towards, who view Zcash and privacy as like a lark. Like, they live their regular lives in a very surveilled, very controlled kind of way. Like,
I mean, guilty. Yeah.
Like everyone else. I mean, everyone has a little bit of that. I'm not judging, but I'm saying they do that, and then they're super puritanical about their crypto uses, specifically Zcash, and their privacy and their devices. Like, oh, I'm not on social media, but I KYC through everything, for example. And we're like, that they kind of look down on people that use their Zcash in a way that might be traced in some way. And it's just like, well, but you're not using it at all. You're using banks. And that's what drives me nuts, is people that let the perfect be the enemy of the good here for this. But again, I'm also not someone to tell people what they should do with their lives or their money. Like, if someone wants to, if someone doesn't believe in radical financial freedom like I do, what the Zuko are they doing in Zcash? But it's up to them, I guess, right?
I mean, I also think that's it's an interesting point, right? Like, because I think it's all spectrum. Me,
definitely on a spectrum.
Me doing a peer-to-peer transaction to buy X good or service is arguably better than using BitRefill, and then
absolutely.
BitRefill is better than using a KYC service, but KYC with using a cryptocurrency is better than using your bank. I mean, it's a spectrum.
Yeah.
And I think there needs to be like an appreciation of like everyone's at a different point in the journey. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the hardest part of the journey is to start. And I feel like within the community, we could do a lot more with helping people start their journey with Zcash to spend and using cryptocurrency to little.
Well, I think it's interesting about the spectrum and migrating people over. The Phoenix Lightning wallet for Bitcoin is not my ideal in terms of like a decentralization spectrum, because even though they can't steal your money, it's self-custodial. It's hardwired through one node, and they literally like route all your transactions and can charge whatever fees you want. And if you want to switch to a different node, you can't. You just have to force close all your channels. Big mess. Take your seat out. So it's not a trust setup that I prefer. I like a regular, like, for example, the Zingo wallet, right? Where you just can import your seat into a different wallet anytime you please. I like that model. However, I'm a relentless promoter of the Phoenix wallet on Twitter because people are using the wallet of Satoshi, which is a custodial wallet that could implement KYC at any moment or take all your money. And I'm just trying to move people, like you said, the spectrum. You outlined what was like four buckets of like the peer-to-peer thing, the BitRefill, no KYC type thing, the KYC but crypto, and I would actually put another one that's non-custodial KYC crypto. Then there's custodial KYC crypto, and then finally there's banks. So those five buckets would get people on the free side, like just move people over activities over one bucket.
I'm a huge, obviously my first slide in my talk yesterday was Lord Satoshi, forgive me for I have LARPed, because I'm getting to the point in my life where I feel like I definitely need to practice more of what I've preached in the past.
Well, I mean, at least you're not me. I'm the guy who's like, I'm like the Renaissance Fair guy. He still wears that stuff at home.
Look, I never stop the LARP. Like, it's ongoing. So, but for me, it's also like, I appreciate sometimes the Monero stances and some of like the Bitcoin privacy community and their stance.
Yeah.
On like, we are not making any trade-off related to KYC, use of centralized platforms. It's all about...
Except for when they use their banks. There are some who don't, by the way.
I'm speaking about like these very concentrated groups of people that are like, quote-unquote, based. And like they're not willing to make those types of trade-offs, and they're willing to go like...
Like they would rather. So for example, if you're a Bitcoin maximalist and you're on this type of side of the aisle, you would rather have someone use shitcoins, quote unquote, that are self-custodied, non-KYC, versus using like a wallet of Satoshi type app.
Yeah, or
I've had the argument posited to me on the forum of wisdom known as Twitter or X that shitcoins are worse than fiat, and it's more righteous to have fiat in your bank account than self-custodial, decentralized, non-Bitcoin crypto. But again, that's insanity at some point, but whatever.
I guess the thing about the puritanical bit, which I think,
I mean, I'm kind of puritanical in some way just because I'm how crazy I am or with what I'm trying to do. But as I mentioned, like the bucket migration, puritanical values of any kind, or values, I should say, just values, attempt to push people over buckets. However, sometimes if you do it the wrong way, you can push people in the opposite direction. So if you judge them for using a KYC crypto service, you're going to keep them from using crypto, and they're going to stay in their banks. Some of them who would want to use KYC crypto service will find a way to not do KYC crypto service. You move them in the right direction, but you might move people in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
I just want everyone.
So I think something like personally that I've tried and it's worked for me a little bit. It's like, okay, I think meeting people in person too. I have been fortunate enough to meet a lot of people. If I only met them online, they would call me a shitcoiner. And then you meet them in person, you have good conversations, and it's like you're people to people. You just have disagreements. Online, it's very easy to like criticize someone for X, Y, and Z.
Yeah,
of anything. But something I have found also is to be more of like just kind of lurking in these communities. I'm never really like coming in, and in Zcash, it's a bit different because I've worked on it and contribute. So I obviously voice my opinions. But in other communities, I always try to stay a little more quiet and just view how people are interacting with different things, and then take all the information that I can and then make the choice that's best for me. As I started to take the journey to more self-sovereignty, trying to get to a point potentially one day where you're at. I don't know if I'll ever reach there, but trying to get there, I have seen that approach allows me to have a more wide range of perspectives.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get a lot of shit for this sometimes. Like, I use and talk about Monero, and people in the Zcash community are like, why would you ever do that? I get people coming up to me in person. They're like, why would you ever?
Well, I mean, let me actually just pose that to you.
Okay.
Why?
Because I think there's things we can learn. I think there's things we can learn from any ecosystem.
Absolutely.
And
so is that why you use, for example, Monero, is because you want to learn from it?
I want to like learn like how the onboarding experience is and how it is to interact with it and how easy it is to use, like,
yeah,
Line and to buy gift cards and to send transactions.
And what did you learn? I mean, obviously it could be like an hour-long conversation. That,
yeah.
What did you learn? It's curious because
I think the user experience is, I think it's better.
Mm-hmm.
I think the user experience of like using a Monero application on your phone is better than the current Zcash state. So, I think it's interesting that a private company develops a wallet.
Talking about Cake.
Yeah, Cake, and they like have like their own business and like they're sustainable. Like, it looks from the outside, I don't know much about them, but it looks sustainable, and they're trying to like add new functionalities to fund the development of this Monero user-friendly wallet, which I think is good.
Yeah, you're speaking my language in a lot of ways. So when you say about it, it's like the UX is better. I already kind of know some of the answers, but just for the purpose of the camera, like why? Like in what ways is it better?
So the first thing is, when I am onboarding into Zcash for the first time I ever did, and I'll admit this, like,
yeah,
I bought Zcash on Coinbase, which I used to use Coinbase.
Sure. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, like, I don't even know what this was. And I withdrew it, I think, to Exodus Wallet, which was the mobile wallet I was using at the time for self-custody.
And it was a transparent address.
It was a transparent address.
Did you know that, though?
No.
Oh.
I didn't know it for a few months, and then I read more documentation because I was actually writing a blog on Zcash, like my own personal blog way back in the day, and I went, oh my gosh, what letter does my address in my wallet start with?
Uh-huh.
And then I don't even know if I asked myself the question. I think I wrote something, and then I looked at my address in my phone, like on my app, and I was like, oh my god, like, or oh my gosh, sorry, I am using a transparent address when I want to use a private address. So I think like that's a social contract that we cannot break when we're advising users to use, like, so for example, when you get into the Zcash website, it's like use a centralized exchange and then like bring it to your wallet, and we list all these wallets, and some of them,
yeah,
I don't know if it currently is, but on the old Zcash website, some of them were transparent only. And it's like, let's not even, like, we can't have these as options, because users will use a multi-currency wallet that only supports transparent Zcash, and then they are not getting the product that they're seeking to have. So yeah, that was the big thing. Like, I noticed when I was onboarding into Monero, I just set up a wallet. I used the Monero-specific version of Cake Wallet. I think it's the Monero wallet.
So, yeah, that resonated with that bit. I actually wrote an article for a Dash theme publication praising the Monero always on privacy thing from purely a user experience perspective.
Exactly.
In that you don't have to make wallets opt into your special features. And unfortunately, it's a binary kind of a thing, because if it's too difficult, they just won't include you at all. But if they do really want to include you, then they have to include the features to a certain extent. And that kind of made it. So what the Zcash lesson from that, in my opinion, personal opinion, right, is I think that privacy should be default. I still think there's a need, a use for transparent addresses for some things.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Now, personally, that should be more of like an advanced user thing, like an Electrum wallet or something like that.
You have
that.
To like seek out transparent addresses for, like, let's say you have a nonprofit that wants to have donations and you have a transparent address. Like, you need to seek out that use case.
Yeah, because the thing is, I think that the value proposition of Zcash is privacy. I think the transparency use case of Zcash is an advanced user feature where you have to know exactly what you want. You're like, well, I don't just want to send and receive funds. I want it here, and I'm going to post a link to the Block Explorer so everyone can monitor all the donations I get right here. That's not an average, send coin. That's a shallow end of the bell curve thing is like what most Zcash should be. So I would do that. So the address format is one. What else about user experience?
So I think, like, unless you're, for a lot of people,
mm-hmm,
gift cards are the main way to refill. Coin cards are like the main way to like interact and spend your crypto.
Yeah.
I find as well, for example, this wasn't with me specifically, but I've been to this place, like the last MoneroCon, they set up all the BTC Pay servers I don't know if it was the BTC Pay, point of sale thing. I don't know if it was that specifically, but they had like point of sale systems with Monero. So they had, in this conference, they were all using Monero with all the vendors, and that's how they were interacting. And it was just like completely peer, like not pe- like, yeah, completely yeah. peer-to-peer in a way.
Also, it was my heritage. That's what I come from, is like little groups of like conferences, all the vendors take some.
So I did that last year with Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up leaving the conference and like only used Bitcoin the entire time, aside from like one or two restaurant trips. And I like came away and I was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't even notice. So like I would imagine that would be a similar experience as if I was at MoneroCon or MoneroTopia in person, where people are just making it the default to use the currency.
Yeah.
And then when you're online, there's just a little bit more usability for Monero online versus Zcash.
Yeah.
And I think that another example is there's a lot of independent Monero community members that are like developing products. It's like some guy is like creating like a node hardware, selling it for like $500. I think it sold out, but like selling it for like $500. Like we're building those things too, but I think the barrier of entry to build those things in Zcash is very high, because you have to kind of go through your step fund program.
Yeah, well that's
another user experience, because being a contributor is another.
Yeah, that's experience. A second lesson, I would say, as you mentioned, like the for-profit company Cake. Because like I remember some of the people, like I used to, the Monero community is an interesting thing. I will give it. There's been a lot of, it's not half bad today. Back in the old day, it was extremely like toxic and bad. And some of the same actors from that era are still there today, but they've kind of grown up a lot. So like Justin from Cake Wallet, the VP of Cake Wallet,
I sparred with him tons back in the day. He was kind of shitty, and I was kind of shitty to him, let's be honest. But now it's just like, whatever. I like cake. I'm recommending. I don't care.
Yeah, but I think it's a great app.
But so the point is, and it also in a kind of unfortunately came to an end, there was a company, Ionia, which is bootstrapped by the Dash Treasury, that sold, did all the Cake Pay stuff in the Cake wallet.
Yeah, I was using Cake Pay. Like, I remember showing my mom, like, yeah. I bought my mom Chipotle once.
Yeah.
Like, and I was in another part of the world and bought her Chipotle within like 5 minutes because I sent her the video. I was like, hey, if you ever wanted to use crypto to buy lunch, you can do this. And my mom's like, that's pretty cool. And that's like, you know, it's
baby steps, right?
It's baby steps, but it's not like, I didn't present it to my mom as like, oh, this is the money that a lot of people on the dark net markets use.
Yeah.
It's just like, mom, you can buy Chipotle with this. Like,
yeah. And so what I think is the way forward is that the way forward is free market entrepreneurship. And I do think that when there's a, what you could call like a public good or something like that, which is like the core protocol, I do see a value in dev funding, like protocol level funding for that. And at the same, which is, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, Monero started looking to adapt some of Zcash's technology paid for by the dev fund. There is a value in having.
Yeah, I presented that.
There's a value in having that. I do think there's a value in having grants for other things in some ways. I think there's a value in everything like that. But I think the primary value is in commerce, is in you make a thing that has value and people give you value in exchange for it. I mean, there's very. Like, we're making money for you know, for Zuko's sake here, right? We're, did she love how I'm just using that?
Oh, my days.
But we're making, like, money's for commerce, for buying and selling things, right? And so I think it's the absolute right attitude of, like, instead of making an unprofitable product that just is, like, hanging dead weight on, like, a treasury or donations or something like that, if it's useful, people will pay for it. There will be money through, largely, again, glossing over some grant applications and things like that. But largely, I'm super in favor of like people just starting successful businesses that incorporate the thing they're passionate about. So if like Monero is what you're passionate about, guess what? You might need a multi-coin wallet that does Bitcoin and Litecoin and some other things. But you also have a great Monero wallet for all it. Cake Wallet does way more good. Listen. I personally believe, again, I haven't super researched this, but I think Cake Wallet is way more of a net benefit to Monero than Monerujo, for example. There's anything wrong with that wallet. But Cake has just brought more Monero users in, I would believe.
Yeah, because of the iOS support.
Yeah, not just iOS support, but also being like a profitable, I would, or at least profit-seeking, usable app that has other coins, which increases usability.
They also build the Monero only version.
So for those people, but like even if they didn't, I still think it would be a net benefit for Monero specifically over other things. I just think
I personally like having I don't like multi-coin wallets.
I agree with you on that. Like the two wallets I use the most often for in-person transactions are the Dash wallet and the Zingo wallet. You know, just like the dedicated to the coin, because it just works. Yeah. It's not like, I'm not going to throw too much shade on Edge here, but it's like, I can't find out how to send coins with it. It takes me 10 seconds to find the buttons to send coins on Edge. And
I never thought it was that hard on Edge.
Yeah. Oh, I could go harder, but that's fine.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't need to go.
No, all good.
I like those.
But people. So let's build on that, right? So like, I think that's kind of maybe a direction we could go to maybe finish the conversation is like the dev funding model.
Mm-hmm.
You're arguing here that like core protocol maintenance and development are the things that we really need to focus on.
Yeah.
And we also need to figure out about ways to have other organizations be sustainable without the dev fund. So for example, I want Zach Hub, which is an open source project in the Zcash community, to develop resources for other ecosystems and apply for grants or solicit donations or whatever from other ecosystems outside of Zcash while still remaining Zcash first and Zcash centric, and have like the bounty programs and all these different programs where they're actually moving, like doing payments and stuff, have Zcash be the currency that drives that. But there needs to be other funding models. There needs to be other ways to get money. They're trying to do Zach Hub Extras, which is like a new news platform with like like unreleased content, and that they're going to be promoting, and you have to pay for that, and you have to pay for that to get access. And that's a great, like, fine, we're taking a step in the right direction of, we're not just going to go Def Fund daddy, give me money type thing. Right. Like,
yeah, of course.
It's like, we're going to use the Def Fund potentially as a starter and then maybe move on. But what you're maybe advocating for is like, why don't we just have models that just don't rely on
this? Yeah.
Like, let's just build profitable or build things that are valuable enough where people in the community and other communities will fund them.
So like in a free market environment, right, which I believe in, there's many models. The dominant model is a profit model, is you do a thing, people pay you for it. Now, there are some gaps in that. So for example, if someone cares for coffee, then they will pay for a coffee and someone can make money providing the coffee. That works. There's some things that, like, for example, Signal. Who's going to pay to use Signal?
Not really many, not a lot of people.
Yeah. But a lot of people apparently will pay so there's a Signal that people can use. That's like the donation model, the nonprofit model.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's still people paying. It's still a free market model. It's just not a capitalist model. So my previous career before all this, I was a nonprofit fundraiser. I ran, you know, some development stuff.
And so, sorry, I'm like, changing my seat.
I've actually written like direct mail ad campaign, or not, direct mail campaigns, and like sent them out and like got all the donations and taken my salary out of them. And then whatever is left goes to the nonprofit, you know, like that whole thing. I've actually done the whole model. And there's a business to the non-business, right? But I think there's a million different ways. The most efficient and sustainable is if you could just kind of make a business out of it. Now, I did have another idea, right?
Let's hear it.
So, the decentralized Zcash DeFi endowment. So,
wait, say this again. Decentralized Zcash DeFi endowment.
It's got to be an awful acronym that people are going to print on t-shirts one day.
But does it say?
Just delete it.
We need to learn from the cryptographers and figure out better ways to name things. They are good at naming things.
Yeah. So I am one of the biggest. So I'm all into, I'm a digital cash maximalist. I really care about digital cash more than a majoralist, I should say. Like, I really care about digital cash, peer-to-peer cash, whatever form works best. The other thing I've gotten more recently excited about, not as excited, but still very excited, is cross-chain DeFi, native cross-chain DeFi. And I never cared for, like, when DeFi was a buzzword, DeFi, because it's just like Ethereum and tokens, you liquidity provide, you swap for this and leverage against that. It's just a bunch of casino stuff, because it's all like tokens no one cares about. You just make these tokens. It's all of the Infler ecosystem. But when ThorChain came out and allowed for cross-chain native asset swaps, to where you can literally send a Bitcoin transaction with an op return memo to a Bitcoin address, and it just spits you out Litecoin automatically because you asked for it. And it's like a vending machine for crypto. It's like old school Shapeshift. But now new school Shapeshift is using this decentralized architecture known as ThorChain. And now there's something called the Maya protocol, which is a complementary fork that, you know, I almost view it as sharding the network, in that even though it's a completely separate chain, they have support in different chains and have redundancy and stuff, so they both interfaces can use both. But anyway, point is, one of the coolest innovations of this is it's allowed DeFi features to come to chains that don't natively support it. So for example, you can deposit Bitcoin in a specific function of the Bitcoin liquidity pool called the Savers program, which doesn't balance your asset out into like the other asset. It stays in Bitcoin. So you can deposit Bitcoin and earn, I think right now it's like 1.5 or 2% APY on your Bitcoin in Bitcoin. And Bitcoin, it's like you literally can stake your Bitcoin and just earn more Bitcoin on it through a decentralized protocol. And you can't do that with just Bitcoin, but Bitcoin through ThorChain, you could do it, for example. And the Maya protocol, which is, you know, the complement, the Litecoin to the Bitcoin, whatever, just integrated Dash on Friday, I believe, or Thursday or Friday. And that's also very exciting. But here's the thing. Imagine if you could have a Zcash endowment like ZekHub. Imagine it gets some big donation or something, and then that gets sent into, assuming Zcash can get integrated into ThorChain or Maya, that gets sent into their liquidity pool, and all the interest earned off of that goes to pay in perpetuity for programs and things. And the more trading volume goes through that, as in the more demand there is for acquiring or offloading Zcash, we go both ways, the more fees that accrues, therefore the money for endowment that is. So it's like a sustainable investment model that's based on the Zcash ecosystem that then continues to have like an extra treasury without additional inflation or taking from the block reward more than already.
But to have this model, you have to drive usage and fees to the network.
Yeah.
You can't, in the current state of Zcash, there's probably not large enough of a fee market to introduce this type of thing without...
Yeah.
So you like the things I'm thinking about with regards to those types of programs right now is like, okay, so we're using newly issued coins. Great. But what happens when we approach a stage when the miners and or stakers in a future world that aren't financially incentivized? So that would be a worry for me in this program as well.
Yeah.
But that's a question we have to answer anyway.
That's not just pure on-chain Zcash transaction volume. There's some fees in the protocol for these trades. So it's like, if you think of these protocols as businesses, it's like Coinbase swap revenue or whatever. And so as that does better,
then so does. But to get fees into this new Zcash endowment, it has to be Zcash specific. The swap has to contain either in and out of Zcash.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
we have to drive value to that.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the elephant in the Zuko room that no one wants to talk about.
Don't have to use Zuko.
Well, I have another stand-in. You know.
Oh yeah, we can't swear.
The stand-in in the ZK room is the elephant in the ZK room is, you know, just like, you know, developers. It's users, and crypto as a whole. There's like Bitcoin and Ethereum have gotten users. No one else has. Monero has some, you know, here and there. Some like Litecoin's okay. They got some users. But like, as far as you mean, like what one could call like anything meaningful for users, only Bitcoin and Ethereum and then a couple of Ethereum like L2s or whatever. Everything else is just running purely on inflation, which is the crypto equivalent of VC money. Sometimes there is actual VC money involved. But inflation, like the block reward that gets printed from nothing, non-fee revenue is VC money, startup money. That's the way Satoshi designed Bitcoin, for example, is you have inflation and the halving keeps going down. And what you'd expect at some point, the fee revenue would pass it and go up. And so the elephant in the room is so many of these projects have found ways of attracting capital, but not the equivalent of more VC funding, but not users, not end users. And like, that's the thing is, I think that Zcash, for example, has done a fantastic job of building cutting edge privacy technology. And somewhere to the end user, whoever that's supposed to be, it hasn't happened enough yet.
Yeah, I think
everyone needs this. Is my point.
Yeah, I think with regards to Zcash specifically, it might be down to usability. But then again, there is an opportunity now with having a lot of the technology in place. We can create a culture shift to where we start prioritizing user-facing applications, and we start prioritizing infrastructure that supports those. We start prioritizing usage and decentralizing newly issued coins into the hands of as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And also encourage a culture of opting out, right? Like, we need to also be aware that these, in my opinion, are all experiments.
Yeah.
Let's see which ones play out the best. And I think some might have head starts over others, but how can we, that's kind of where my head's at right now.
And it's
Zcash funding is very interesting because we are talking about it right now. And it's like, I think we're all just going to have to have these conversations here this weekend and then go back home and then write a bunch of proposals and then take the best from each proposal. We need to have 30 to 40 different forum posts on different design models, potentially like a dev fund.
Absolutely.
Even more, but pull all from those and see how can we sustain this thing? How can we look towards long-term sustainability, which we need users for? We can't just zoddle and expect long-term network security and sustainability. So these are all things we have to think about.
We're talking about with knowledge, yeah, opinions should change. Everyone's opinions should change as they accrue more knowledge, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
And my initial knowledge, like I heard about Bitcoin, I was sold on the sales pitch. And then I'm like, this is great. And then I thought, well, I'm just going to like use it and get it pushed everywhere. But then at some point, because of structural issues in governance and other things, did not work anymore for my purposes, right? The digital cash use case got at the very least put on hold for a few years. Some might still argue it just got permanently shelved. But, you know, again, that's a different argument to have. But the point is, then I became super interested in coins that I thought had a strong structural foundation. And like, oh, does it have sustainable nodes? Does it have a governance system? Does it have blockchain level like development funding? Does it have all these things? And I haven't moved away from thinking that's important. But I think that that's, and I'm thinking that's half the picture. The other half is the end usage thing. And so there's a certain, maybe this is the soundbite that people probably need to use to like get all triggered by this podcast. But to a certain extent, talking about how we're going to split up and use the dev fund is analogous to rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's just like, well, what if we tweak this super high level thing super well at some point, and it to a certain extent it's like cleaning your room and you have a work deadline and you just like don't want to do that, you're procrastinating, so you just do something else instead. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do it, by the way. I'm not saying that at all. It needs to be figured out, but the bigger thing needs to be figured out is how do you get more users and start there and work this way instead of start at the dev fund and how do we figure that out and then work to the user. You kind of have to approach it from both ends, to be honest. But I think Zcash in particular has approached it a lot from the very high level and not a lot from the man on the street. And I think we need to get more men on the women on the street.
And I appreciate the ZF's effort. I don't want to feel like I'm shilling them because we're at this conference, but I do appreciate the effort to like have more community focused programs and people working on those programs to like speak and have the opportunity to share their opinions. Like, but that can't be the only thing. We need to have the user who is scared of maybe challenging one of the larger persons in the ecosystem on, for example, like, do we need to have T addresses or not? Like, users should feel comfortable saying, hey, I think this is a big big issue with regards to like security, and we're onboarding people that might not have the best privacy because they don't know they're using a T address, et cetera.
Yeah.
But like,
by the way, let me interject on that specific point and find like, you know, we dip into memes because we're men of culture. Remember like the brain meme of like the dumb brain, and it gets more enlightened.
Yeah, it gets
like
more enlightened. Yeah.
The dumb brain is like, you know, we need more adopt. They're like, T addresses are bad. It's not T addresses are bad. They're confusing users. Social contract, blah. The final form isn't let's centrally plan this. The final form is of enlightenment on this issue. In my hot take opinion, again, not super well baked.
I'm ready to hear it.
Is make a wallet, not you specifically, but someone make a wallet that only supports the Zatters only, like that dude on Twitter, right? Or you address and whatever is one address type and is only shielded, right? And then just see to it that that is the dominant wallet and that the products that you and people like you create are the dominant parts in the ecosystem. So then whoever's still clinging to the T address first thing will have customer pressure, will have enormous pressure to be like, well, why don't you work with what everyone is using? And so I think a lot of times people say, let's try to change the powers that be so that they do what I want. Instead, do what you want until you are the power that be.
That's a good perspective. And it's taking on more of like, yeah, we don't need to rely on even dev fund organizations specifically to potentially make changes here. I think, like what we were saying is like, we need to give a voice to the community to have these different ideas come into fruition.
Yeah.
Have different debates, have different conversations where we might not agree, but ultimately we need to figure out how to make sure. Yeah. It's all about long-term picture. How can we make this thing sustainable? Which what we're saying here is we need to have efforts that acquire more users, and there's a number of ways we can do that, and it might not just be saying we have the best privacy technology.
Well, that's the thing. Also, if you make a killer wallet, Zuko's gonna use it. And he's going to tell everyone about it. And then he's going to tell people at ECC about it. And like,
if it's really, really good, then more people will keep using it.
Yeah. And that's exactly the thing. It's like, I think that there's a lot of jockeying for, well, power's not the right word, but a lot for like jockeying for agendas that happen in all manner of organizations. And the thing that really like results are the things that really speak. And if you manage, like, there's a possibility, by the way, that what I want is wrong. And the free market will tell me that when I fail, right? If I try to make something work and it's not working, either I haven't figured it out right or my initial premise was wrong. And rather than just believe in my righteous wrongness and try to tell committees to adopt my, what if I win there, but everyone loses, I still think, well, I was right, just other factors. But like, I think the ability to fail as an instruction method, I think is a very, very healthy, and that's very not insulated in a free market environment, for example.
I would agree with that, and I don't think we need to be scared of creating wild and crazy applications that might fail.
Yeah.
We need to try everything. So I would agree with that. Any closing thoughts?
The closing thought is private, uncensorable digital cash is worth fighting for a lot of people, even worth dying for. This is a giant, I think it's a giant human rights issue that if we get this to where we have full financial self-sovereignty and privacy, I think that will change the world in a meaningful way, like few other things in the world in our lifetimes. Like the free flow of information through the internet was a giant, I guess, liberating factor, right? And then this is another one. And you could maybe say, yeah, AI thing's a little early to really know exactly which way it's going to go. But just from what I've been able to observe now, the tools available to just like a random kid in Africa to make pro level everything or just learn how to code, put it into, hey, ChatGPT, write me a stablecoin, an algorithmic stablecoin contract and Solidity. And then now all of a sudden anyone can just, the accessibility of all that. These are the things that move the human species forward in a meaningfully, objectively better way. And I think that, you know, this Zcash, Zcash stands for is too important to get wrong. And it's too important to not do, to wait for it to maybe someday work out. So I would just say, full steam ahead, make this work. Everyone live on crypto. Your phone is spying you, by the way. And
I know it is.
Yeah. Close your bank account, flip them off, and yeah. Zuddle till you die, right?
We're trying to get rid of that term, Joel.
That's why I bring it up.
Awesome. Thanks for the try, man. This is an awesome conversation. Thank you so much.